Rules, Money Rules, Money.
Welcome to the Money Rules Podcast, where we tackle your personal financial matters with leading financial advisors. Your host, Boitumelo Ntsoko.
With interest rates dropping in South Africa, many homeowners are wondering whether now is the right time to refinance their home loans. What are the potential savings? What are the risks? And how can you make sure refinancing is the right move for your financial situation? To help us unpack all of this, we're joined by Dawn Riddler, a certified financial planner at Rexulam Invest. Welcome, Dawn.
Great to talk to you, Tumi.
Dawn, let's start with the basics. What exactly does refinancing a mortgage mean, and how does it differ from the original bond application process?
In South Africa, refinancing a mortgage is usually used to take advantage of equity that is available in the bond. In other words, at the amount of the capital that you've paid off and the bond that is remaining, the difference between the two is what's called the equity in the bond. And that is what is usually referred to when we talk about refinancing in South Africa. And why I make this distinction is that when you see refinancing, perhaps in the States, if you see it on a television show, the way that they do their mortgages is significantly different to ours. Their mortgages are based on the 10-year treasury rate or the 20-year or even the 30-year treasury rate. So the mortgage is actually linked to that treasury rate on the day that you take it out. So if the treasury rate, which for nearly 15 years in the States was 0.5%, then that is what you would pay in your mortgage, or maybe a little bit over that, for the full 20 years. Well, South Africa always is quite different. Our mortgage rates, well, more than 95% of our mortgage rates are actually variable. So as soon as the interest rate changes, just as like you've described, then the interest rate on your bonds also starts to come down.
Dawn, many people assume that refinancing is about securing a lower interest rate, but are there other reasons someone might want to refinance their home loan?
You know, in this country, the lowering of the interest rate results in one thing on your bond, is that your interest payments actually start to come down. The taking out of a second bond or refinancing of a bond when interest rates are low is really only much more applicable in places like the US. For example, you know, if you've secured a mortgage bond at their relatively high interest rates at the moment, say at 5%, and their interest rates now drop to 4%, you don't want to be locked into paying 5% for the next 30 years where you could be paying 4%. South African situation is completely different. And most of the mortgage providers are pretty competitive. You might save 25 basis points or 50 basis points here or there, but then there are all the costs associated with changing a bond. So it's not really much of a consideration when it comes to the refinancing of a loan. It's much more along the lines of what are you going to do with that capital, and what taking advantage of the lower interest rate that you get from a mortgage bond to pay off higher interest rate debt rather than actually paying less on the mortgage bond per se.
Dawn, refinancing sounds great in theory, but how can a homeowner determine whether it's the right move for their situation? What should they consider before making that decision?
You know, it's a major decision. You're looking at potentially incurring debt for the next 20 years. And so I would strongly recommend that this is a discussion that you have with your financial advisor before you go ahead with it, because it is a major decision. You know, the last thing, you know, you want to precipitate is a sort of feeding frenzy like you saw when people were trying to access the savings pot that recently became available under the two-pot pension system, for example, right? This is a major decision. And the other sort of major caveat here is, what are you going to be using that capital for, right? Because that is, you know, one of the major considerations here. Yes, if you're paying off expensive debt, then that is, you know, a prudent financial decision to use that expensive debt. But make sure that you use it for that, because you're now incurring debt for 20 years into the future. So it shouldn't be used, for example, for household expenses or to top up an emergency fund or, you know, to go on a holiday or anything like that. And believe me, you know, that happens. You know, I've seen people cash out pensions and fritter it and, you know, sort of, it's not doing your future self any favors. And that's what you need to consider at the end of the day. Because by the time you have paid off your house, it is probably the single, in by value, the single largest asset that you are ever going to have. Perhaps your pension may be bigger, but in many cases, that is going to be a single biggest asset, and you need to take consideration of that. You know, irrespective of, you know, the fact that interest rates have dropped a little bit and you can maybe afford to pay off a little bit more, because obviously as soon as you refinance it, your the amount that you pay off on a monthly basis is going to be for longer and maybe higher as well.
Dawn, is there a specific amount of time homeowners should aim to stay in their homes before refinancing makes sense?
It's not just refinancing. I think if we leave the before refinancing makes sense out of the question, is how long should people stay in their home? And I've written and you know recorded about this extensively. And quite frankly, every time you move home, you lose a chunk of the value. If you consider that you have to pay transfer fees, you have to pay commissions, you have to pay all the relocation costs. You know, my philosophy that I try to impart to my clients, you know, in my practice on a day-to-day basis is, it may not be easy in your first home, is to pick a home that you're going to stay in for a long period of time. And I'm talking 15 years plus at a time, you know. So that is the sort of length of time that you should be looking at staying in a house at any point in time, is probably at least 15 years, not sort of moving house every 3 or 4 or 5 years, because you will just be throwing away extensive value of what is one of your biggest assets. So I would say that this is a consideration that you need to make, you know, with your financial advisor in a holistic sense, to say, have a look at what everything is in your life. What are you paying on medical aid? Where are your kids going to school? Where do you want them to go to university? All of those kind of things. So have a plan in place so that you know what your future expenses are going to look at. Before sort of jumping to, oh, let's refinance this, pay off all my debt, but now incur that debt for many, many years into the future. You know, home at the end of the day, when it comes to, particularly when it comes to retirement planning from an advisor's perspective, is really prepaying your rent in advance. That's all it is at the end of the day. People say, oh, you know, I'm going to downgrade and all the rest of it. The amount that you can actually save in downgrading into, say, a retirement home or something like that with their high levies and higher initial costs is usually minimal. So, you know, it's a whole philosophical discussion around home ownership that goes into that equation. But I would say that the consideration has to be made in terms of, you know, if you're severely indebted in other things, on credit cards that are maxed out, on home loans that are maxed out, then it doesn't really matter. You know, even a little bit of equity could help on that side. But, you know, it does come with costs. You know, they don't do it for free.
Can you give us examples of circumstances where refinancing might not be a good idea, even if interest rates are falling?
You know, I don't really consider, you know, where the interest rates are really much in consideration here at the end of the day. You know, that's really more an offshore sort of consideration. But when not to do it is really, you know, don't go and release that capital to go and fritter it away. You know, it needs to go into an asset or to go into paying down debt at the end of the day. You know, if you're going to use it for anything else, your future self is not going to thank you for lumbering you with another 20 years of home ownership. I mean, because, I mean, if you just even do the math on the 20 years of paying back your mortgage bond, and you see how much that actually is costing you over the 20 years, you know, it's huge, actually, at the end of the day.
And what about homeowners who are closer to the end of their loan term? Would refinancing make sense for them?
You know, I would say no. Quite frankly, I would say no. You know, I come across a lot of clients who, when they sort of are now at the point where they're sort of paying off their home and they see this massive equity sitting in that they can potentially tap, they do one of a number of things. Yes, they refinance it and, you know, maybe do additions to the house. And, you know, if you're going to increase the value of your house by maybe putting on a granny flat or something like that, then that's a viable solution. But many people that I come across then sort of see this, Ollie, I'm going to upgrade. You know, it's this concept of lifestyle creep. that we as financial advisors try to help our clients fight against? You know, is it, I've got this, I've paid this off, I've made all these sacrifices, I deserve to live in something better, to do that at the end of the day. But, you know, this is where, you know, maybe meet yourself halfway when you've paid off your loan. If you paid off your loan and you're now maybe in your late 50s or 60s, then no, refinancing is not a solution, because now you've got a paid up home, you've paid up your rent for the rest of your life. And maybe, you know, there would be considerations in terms of frail care or something like that at a later stage, maybe when you're in the late 70s or 80s, that you can, you know, consider moving into something else. But really, at the end of the day, you built up this asset. You know, why go and get yourself into debt all over again, unless it's for a very valid reason?
Dawn, what role does the home's current value play in this whole process?
Well, the bank is going to revalue your house, right? And the property prices over the last, probably nearly 15 years has been pretty dismal, right? I mean, there was a massive surge in home prices between 2000 and about 2006, 2007. But thereafter, you know, it hasn't even reached the sort of 6%, 7% per annum that we were used to for decades. So you could find that if you, you know, go to the bank and ask to be refinanced and they want to revalue it, which they obviously entitled to do, that you might find that you might have bought it, for example, for 4.5 million or 3 million or whatever else it is. And you think, oh, yeah, I've been in it 10 years. You know, they're going to revalue it at 5. No, not so fast, right? So, you know, house prices, particularly at the moment, because we've been in a high interest rate environment for quite a while now. And yes, interest rates are coming down. And as interest rates are coming down, house prices will probably rise. But, you know, right at the moment, the price of that home is going to have an impact on what the bank is prepared to refinance you for.
Let's discuss the refinancing options available to homeowners. What are the most common ones and how do they work?
The most common one, I think, is, you know, taking up the equity in the bond or, you know, taking out a second bond. A second bond is really when, you know, you've taken out a small bond on the house, but now you want to do capital expansion or have done capital expansions and the value of the house is much better. And you can take out a bond, which is the difference between what you originally paid and what you want now. But, you know, that's one form of refinancing is taking a second bond. But the other one is sort of taking up the equity, is sort of accessing the access portion of your existing bond, which does have to go through, obviously, processes with the bank. The other option that you can have is to shop around, you know, to go to another provider and see if they will give you a bigger bond or a new bond, maybe starting from scratch. But there again, we're going to get right back to you now incurring, you know, 20 years of debt. Look, there's nothing stopping you when you take out or refinancing a bond or taking it out for a longer period of time, is reducing that time period in which you pay it back. And certainly, if you're sort of in your 50s and onwards and you want to refinance, I would strongly recommend that you do it. Instead of taking it out for 20 years, I would, you know, bring it right down and take it out for 10 years. And unfortunately, I have found with some of my clients who've done this refinancing, is that when you go back to the bank and want to take out the equity and you're over the age of 50, that they can now request that you cede a life policy to equal value to that. So that, again, increases costs.
And could you explain to us how a cash out refinance works and what should people be careful of when choosing this option?
You know, at the end of the day, you're going to be in one way, shape or form, you're going to have access to that capital. And there's not going to be somebody, you know, looking over you and saying this is how it should be spent, right? So this amount, and you know, it could just appear in your bank. I mean, if you still bank with the same person that you mortgage with, which, you know, a lot of these banks actually insist that you bank with them, and if you've got a mortgage with them, and you know, some of the others don't. That this, you know, if it's, for example, a standalone mortgage company, in which there are quite a few of them in this country, they would then pay that amount into your account. you know, the capital value of that account. Or they would pay off the bank and then the bank would pay you if you, for example, moving your bond. So at the end of the day, you're going to be able to get your little paws on that cash if you're refinancing it. And then it's up to you to allocate it, for example, to the debt or, you know, to building an extension or whatever it is that you've decided to do with that cash that is liberated. Because that is essentially what we're doing, is we're sort of liberating the equity that you paid off so that you have that cash in hand. And how you decide to use it is something else altogether. You know, you must remember that when a bank lends you the mortgage, they take over the rights to your home. You know, they hang on to the deeds. So it is a form, you know, they have got the security of your home should anything go wrong. That's why you get a much lower interest rate as opposed to a credit card. You know, they're not going to come and repossess, you know, that you'll take a lot purchases that you've made for the last 10 years, for example, right? It's a secured debt. So that is the major difference between the two. So, you know, when the banks are lending you the money on a mortgage, it's secured against the home. They've got the security of the home. If you decide to do something imprudent with that money, you know, that's up to you.
Now, Dawn, for the big question, for our listeners who are determined to go the refinancing route and who are watching interest rates closely, would now be a good time to start that process, or should they potentially wait for lower rates in the future?
The interest rate is not going to matter really much at the end of the day. The only thing that is going to matter is when the bank decides how much they're going to let you take out the equity of it, right? Because obviously your repayments will be lower. So, I mean, one of the things, I mean, if we're just talking a little bit laterally here from a perspective of an individual managing their debt, the mortgage is one of their debts. But with the interest rates coming down, they're now going to be able to pay less off on their mortgage, maybe liberating 1,000 rand. That 1,000 rand, for example, could still go off to paying their debt. So, you know, where the interest rates are, it might mean that they get slightly more from the bank in terms of interest rate, because, you know, the interest rates are going to, the bank is going to want to see what your income is, and they will only give you even refinancing up to that certain level. They're going to want to see the proof of income. But, you know, whether they do it now, I would say, you know, right at the moment where home prices are still quite low, that means that the value that the bank is going to put on the house might be lower than what you bought it for. And you need to take that into consideration as well. And the fact that, and you need to discuss with the bank what's this going to cost. You know, it's going to cost north of 5,000-7,500 in that sort of region, because they have to lodge an extended bond with the master, and then all comes with fees. So, you know, that's, you've got to weigh it up between the two to sort of see what is the cost. Am I happy with the fact that this is going to carry on for another 20 years? And bear in mind that interest rates in the future, not now, you know, we might come down another 100 basis points in the next year, but thereafter they might go up again. And, you know, can you afford it when they go up again? Because, you know, you might be now, it might let you have a higher repayment rate. But if interest rates go up now by 1%, 2%, will you still be able to afford it?
And so for our listeners who are considering this, how does the whole process work? Where do they begin? What steps do they need to take?
They need to speak to their mortgage provider. Right, you need to speak to your private bank, whoever it is, somebody in that bank, because they would be obliged to give you all the pros and cons and disclosures and give you a better idea of exactly the kind of fees, etc., that you'd be incurring in the process. So that would be my first step would be speak to your financial advisor. And if your financial advisor says, yeah, I think this is a good idea, then that's one thing. But if you don't want to do that, then don't do that. You're probably not listening to this podcast if you're the kind of person that doesn't listen to a financial advisor anyway. But the next step would be to speak to the originator. And listen, you could also shop around and, you know, speak to, you know, some of these maybe standalone mortgage providers rather than a bank, and see if you can get a better rate. But there will be fees incurred there. So, you know, the thing is to talk before you sign anything, to find out exactly what it is you're letting yourself in for and for how long. And as I said, you know, one of the things I would seriously consider is reducing the term, not, you know, from 10 years, maybe down, to, you know, from 20 years down to 10, and see if you can still afford it at that.
Dawn, you mentioned that the process could cost between $5,000 to $7,000, just for lodging with the master's office. But what other fees should homeowners be aware of? And are there other specific requirements that they need to be aware of as well?
Well, you know, it's going to be inspected, your property, whether you take out a new bond or, you know, obviously taking out a new bond and replacing the bond is going to be the most expensive option, because you've got then complete bond origination fees that go with it. I mean, you may not know, but even if you cancel a bond, you know, you paid off your bond and you've got no more, nothing left. It still costs around about $5,000, $7,000, $10,000 to cancel the bond, even though you own nothing. Right. So there are fees incurred at every step of the way. And that's why it's important to speak to your originator. You know, if you speak to an originator and they think that they might be losing you as a client, they might be more inclined to try and keep you. So, you know, that would be my first port of call. But, you know, there are going to be some significant costs. Even, you know, you're staying in the same home, but all you're wanting is to access some of that equity. And that just has to be built into the consideration as whether this is worth it or not. But if you consider you've got a credit card that you've maxed out, and say, you know, you're now sitting at like 600,000 Rand or something, which I've seen from time to time, and you're paying 22% on it. And now you've got a mortgage bond that you can access and maybe wipe out most of that debt. Then, of course, it makes sense, because the amount that you'd be saving just on a monthly basis on that interest would be huge.
And how can homeowners ensure that they get the best deal during this process?
As you know, as I said before, most South African bond originators these days, I mean, you know, back sort of, I suppose 15, 20 years ago, you used to get people who were independent bond originators and who would go out and find you the best rates. But, you know, if you're a fairly savvy person and you can negotiate with them, I mean, you can go to your bank, your bank says, I'll give you sort of prime plus one, and you say, oh, yeah, but, you know, Joseph down the road, or, you know, homeowners, whatever it is, have ordered, you know, given me prime half a percent, you know, they might meet you halfway. So don't assume that they won't negotiate. They might negotiate if they want to keep you. But, you know, in terms of when you add in all the costs of, particularly when it comes to finding something competitive, you've got to build in those bond origination costs, which could be quite considerable. And the fact, and look 20 years into the future in terms of, you know, this is, you know, I thought I had a 10 years left on my bond, but I'm now going to make it another 20 years.
Dawn, just to wrap things up, what's your final piece of advice for homeowners considering refinancing right now?
Do it for the right reasons. That's all I can say, is do it for the right reasons. I mean, I think there was a missed opportunity when people were accessing that savings portion of the two-pot system. And, you know, and I know why it was done. You know, it was the only way that government at the end of the day could get the unions on board to allow the two-pot system to actually occur, was to actually give them the sort of that 30,000 rand access to that bond. So I understand all of that. But, you know, as a result of that, you know, hundreds of thousands of people throughout this country have gone and put a hole in their pension savings, right? And that's a self-inflicted hole. If you refinance your house for the wrong reasons, that's exactly what you'll be doing. You'll be shooting yourself in the foot if you do it for the wrong reasons. And, you know, you say, right, I want to put in a pool. Then speak to an estate agent and say to them, look, if I put a pool into this house, how much would it increase the value of my house? Or if I put on a granny flat, or if I put in solar, whatever it is that you're wanting to use the refinancing for. So, you know, it's a huge decision. Don't just look at the money at the end of the day. You know, look into the future and have a plan for the future, and know that you can afford it into the future, and afford it 20 years into the future. If you're 50 and you take out another 20-year bond, you're going to be paying that bond into your 70s, probably years after you've retired. And that's not a great place to be, especially when interest rates are so volatile and you're on a fixed income. And now interest rates go up, and now suddenly you're having to look for another 2,000 or 3,000 rand a month to pay on your mortgage. Not fun.
All right, we're going to leave it at that. Thank you so much, Dawn, for sharing your insights with us.
It's a pleasure to me.
That was Dawn Riddler, a certified financial planner at Rexulam Invest.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Money Rules Podcast. To listen to more, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.